Grace and mercy to all of you, my Christian friends, in the name of our Savior of the world. Amen. I'd like to speak to you today from the text that was just read from 1 Corinthians. When I read the text the first time, I thought of my call as a gospel proclaimer. When you read it in a better way, the way that it's really supposed to be spoken of, it's Paul talking to the Corinthians and says, God called you to be Christians. He graced you with faith. But I can't quite divorce that idea of my call to be a gospel proclaimer from my call as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds the Corinthians there in Scripture that God did not grace them with faith because they were powerful or because they were strong or they had high status or things of that nature. In fact, it was precisely because of the lack of these things that God chose those people. There's nothing within any of them or us, for that matter, that would impel God to choose us, to call us. Seemed like foolishness by God, but Paul writes that as well earlier. He says it's a stumbling block. It's hindrance to people and to their salvation. We've been called by God's grace, as you and I both know. Generally, our only claim to lack of wisdom or to lack of knowledge comes when we take tests or write papers. You know, our weakness generally now today is seen that we stand before Jesus Christ as having nothing. We lack no intelligence to reach out to Jesus Christ. For ourselves, we also lacked everything. In fact, our posture before God, we are full of sin. We are condemned. No less could we lack, for we're absolutely void of anything. Yet God called us anyway. You know, we're vessels of clay. We weren't the bronze. We're not the gold. And He did this through our baptisms in one of those ways. And then He continues to put us in the fire of His Holy Spirit so that we can be the heralds of this message to the world. And Romans 10 speaks of us as preachers to those who have not yet heard. If you remember last Sunday's epistle, it came from the book of Acts. It talks about Peter and how he recognized for the first time of his life a brand new truth. Those that were outcasts, those that were seen as less than the Jews, really, a new truth was opened to Peter. Here in front of him were the Gentiles that were being called by Jesus Christ, by God as well. Can you imagine the new mental mapping in Peter's mind? The things that must have gone through his head at that moment when he found out this new truth, that God calls the Gentiles and the Jews. He must have had a completely different expression and outlook on what society was and how the people were. How should he relate to people? Must have been just completely different for him in his mind. And maybe like Peter, you and I need a brand new mind opening experience to this truth, God's truth that He calls the Gentiles as well. Maybe a trip to a foreign mission field, like a downtown LA, or Chicago, or New York, or Detroit, or spend some time among a cultural expression that's different from your own, some other heritage. That might just be the key to open up our minds again to these kinds of people. You know, how much of our efforts are put towards those who are lacking, the lowly, the weak, the powerless, the outcast. I've read and I've heard as well that 90% of our mission efforts are towards those who are already Christian. You know, most of you will receive calls to establish congregations, to congregations that are there. You'll be filling vacancies in your calls. You'll be dealing with the very important ministry of word and sacrament among people who are already in churches generally. And these people are the ones who you're like. You grew up with that kind of a background. That's your cultural heritage as well. You can go to barbecues and play softball with those people, and you can socialize with them. They're the same kinds of people that you and I are. But the U.S. is bursting with people who aren't like us, who have a different cultural expression. We don't live in a melting pot. We live in a stew pot. You can see all the pieces in the stew, the vegetables and all the different meats. You can recognize each one individually. Do we meet these people with the gospel as well? Now, last year I was in L.A. and I took two courses. One of them was entitled Urban Ministries. Another one was entitled Urban Training Models. And we, for 10 of those days in those classes, we went downtown L.A. and we experienced what it's like to be among a different, just one group now, one different group of people. We visited missions, we visited organizations, we visited shelters, and we touched lives in a way that many of us probably haven't done that before. In fact, one night I became one of the homeless. It's interesting to understand the phrase we have, it's better to give than to receive, from the other side of the coin. It is a lot better to give than to receive when you have the resources from which to give. So I went to this homeless coffee house storefront, Christian storefront place. And there was about 50 of us standing outside there waiting to get into this place. And they opened the door. We walked inside. We hustled around the tables and sat down, started eating the cookies that were on the table there. And then a man in front read some things from Scripture, talked about those things. It's right before Christmas. So he was talking about the birth of Christ. They sang some songs. They did some prayers. And then they brought us the food and we all ate. Then everybody got up and left. And I was the new person there, kind of the new homeless face in the crowd. And all these other people kind of knew each other. There's a group of homeless that moved together. But not once during that whole experience did anyone come to me that worked there and said, "You need something," except for a glass of Kool-Aid. They did ask if I wanted something to drink. Now, despite what you might think about that effort, you know, this group was at least down there. This was on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, just a half a block south of that. You know, the Walk of the Stars. This is where this coffee house place was set up for the homeless. And they were there. They were doing something for these people, despite the thing that, you know, these people came just to get something to eat, and that's why they listened. But the gospel was being proclaimed there. There's homeless people living everywhere, of course, and they're the weak, and they're the powerless, as Paul's writing there. Their homes are boxes in the streets and in the doorways. Or toilets that go to restaurants or right in the alley. Their food they eat comes from the shelters or the missions or right out of the garbage bin. You know, we think of these people as being there because of alcohol abuse or drug abuse or other kinds of problems like that. But the majority of them aren't there because of that. The majority are there because of other problems, economic problems usually, but divorced families, can't afford the rent, just down and out, bad things have happened to them. And they can't get out because a support group for those people is downtown LA. There are no supporting organizations outside of the downtown inner city places that you and I know of. So there's no place for these people to go. They can't get out of that. Like I said earlier, I don't know how many of you have experienced that, but when you go down there, you can't help but see it. It's right there in front of you. It's recognizable when you walk down the streets where many of these people live. It becomes impossible to see this every day without being touched in some way. And then think like Peter did when he was there with the Gentiles. Are these people called by God as well? And if they are, what should we do about it? As you know, as you may know, I was my family and I just returned in May of 1990 from Liberia, West Africa. We were evangelistic missionaries there for 7 years. And among the Kisi people. And the people there, from our perspective, generally in America, we think of them as, you know, we're technologically advanced and all that kind of stuff. So we think of these people as lowly or depressed or powerless or weak. And, you know, they live in mud block homes. And they have mud dirt floors. Their health care comes from the country medicine or from the spiritual shaman. They go to there to get their healing. We come back in the States and visit churches and people say, "Oh, you are such good and dedicated and fine people to be going out there to Africa, because I sure can't do that. I just wouldn't be able to do that. There's no air conditioning, there's no electricity, there's no running water, there's no toilets, you see. I didn't plan on going to Africa. That's just where my call took me. And my background is country living in a farm community, had almost a completely 100% German ethnic background. Does that prepare me for a cross-cultural ministry? No way. But I also knew that the Kisi people needed to hear God's call. Despite having similar thoughts that you probably do as well when you think about going to another cultural expression or cultural heritage, even here in the U.S., God used me not only to fulfill my call as a Christian to follow Christ, but also to fulfill my call in the ministry of word and sacrament. God desires all people to come to Him and to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but sometimes He targets those down and lowly and weak and powerless people. Physically, of course, but spiritually, the people lack, they're just not touched with the spiritual message of Jesus Christ. We need to reach out to these people with God's call as well. And you know this. You already know this, see. But, I don't know, have you started to begin maybe to put some boundaries on God by saying, when I get my call or when I do my ministry, it'll be among a group of people that I'm already familiar with? Now, do you feel the tug by God maybe to open up the whole world as a field for where God could maybe send you? Have you prepared yourself for a cross-cultural ministry? maybe God will send you to those places? Or do you just expect God to naturally send you to a people group that's similar to your own heritage, your own background? And even if you are called by God to a similar people group, and many of us will be, many of you will be, do you expect to have many and generous opportunities to touch all these different cultural expressions that are out there in our American stew pot? You know, God has called us to be His own. He's forgiven us. He's renewed us through His Son's life, His Son's death, and the resurrection. As Luther writes, leads us to live under Him in His kingdom, to serve Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. You know, that call is going to lead you to serve Him where new beginnings among United States Gentiles can produce some miracles we know only God can give to us through our work, us, His clay vessels, through the power of His Holy Spirit. May all of us remain open to our call from God and follow His guidance as He leads us to the new frontiers where the lowly, the weak, the powerless, the Gentiles of our modern-day America wait to hear His call. Amen.